Mark, please. And welcome every person that's here, amen. Visitors and some. Amen. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Branham said that in Shreveport. He said, he was talking about the word that's been allotted for us and how the anointing comes for this age. He said, I put it on the screen. I only see one thing left, the coming of the Lord Jesus. At any time, a rapture for the church, and we're to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. Did I say Mark? That's our second scripture. So our first one is Luke chapter 9. I'm sorry. Amen. I put Mark first, but I put Luke second, and I put 1 and 2, and I switched it around. Amen. God bless you. He's a God that answers back.
Amen.
Nice to have Brother Zig Klar and Sister Anita here. They're, I would much rather him be standing behind the pulpit, but we gave him the night off. Amen. And I ask him again and again and again. And they're just family, so we're happy that they're here. And amen. God bless you, Brother Zig. And nice to have some veterans here tonight. Keeps me in line. Make sure that I stay with the word. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 and 50, just two verses. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So just because they're not with us or in our church or in our family, they might even believe different. We just need to be mindful and handle ourselves as Christians. So let's go to Mark now, chapter 9, verse 38. And I'll be watching the time tonight so that I'm not lengthy. Some have been in services already. Nice to have you, Brother Hammermeister. Had a wonderful weekend last weekend in Edmonton there, and it was nice. Amen. Did you have a good time? Amen. Now you're having another good time. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm at camp this week. May God give you wonderful time. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Again, it's the same thought that Jesus wanted to convey. Mark 9, verse 38. And John answered him saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. I underline that. And he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. In other, we tried to stop him, Jesus. You know, and Jesus didn't say, good job, guys, you know. Good job for stopping people that aren't following with us. No, that's not what he said. Verse 39, Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ.
Yes.
And I underline that.
Yes.
Amen. There's a lot of waters that are given out. There's a lot of waitresses that give out water, waiters. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about because people see Christ in you. Because you belong to Christ and they're doing something for you. A cup of water to drink in my name. And it doesn't just have to be a cup of water. It could be a good deed. It could be because they acknowledge Christ in you, because you belong to Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward.
Amen.
So doesn't everyone agree that it would be better to serve the Lord?
Amen.
So that every person around you would be able to make it? Rather than, you know, putting this and making lines and seeing who, but just serve the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And let someone see Christ in you.
Amen.
And maybe because of that, they would be granted eternal life. God bless you. You can have your seats tonight. I'm taking an unusual thought out of this, but I'm speaking on where are we at in time? Where are we at in time? I think as the song says, there's trouble in the east again. Israel, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's trouble. There's fighting all around politics and in the nations. And there's the spirit on the age is just for sickness and for strife and for fighting. We are at the end time. And just looking in verse Mark chapter 9, verse 41, again, speaking about this cup of cold water. That would be coming to a person because ye belong in Christ. I just wanted to say right at the beginning, how we handle ourselves as Christians is very important. Do you know that you have the ability to impart eternal life to others? You are a carrier of the life of Christ. And this token faith that is in you, you have the ability to impart eternal life to someone else. I wonder how many of you actually believe that your shadow can cause a healing. Well, you just have to read the book of Acts to find this out. So just let's be mindful of who you are. Let us be mindful of the authority that's in your life. Let's not just be throwing light words out there. If my words and spirits travel on words, then if someone can receive eternal life because of the words that I speak, this is also in the book of Acts. Did you know that your words can cause the Holy Spirit to fall on another person? How many know that? While he yet spoke the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them. So we're very mindful that healing flows through the body. And our spirits and as we feed off of the word, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. As we find our place at this end time, we believe that even when we lay hands on someone, they can be delivered of a demon spirit. Amen. So let us not just be quickly, you know, doing things and in our own flesh, but I want to be possessed by the Lord. And Paul, a prisoner, that what was the word Brother Branham said in Christ is the mystery. I was listening to it today. You know, when people wanted him to do a certain thing, but he was a prisoner and he didn't want to just be led by his friends or just by peer pressure. And I think that it's good not to just read these things or hear these things. That was our message for July. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But to realize that now it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. A devil can be cast out of another person because of your faith. And it can also be because of their faith in Christ. A spirit can actually leave them. And taking from our scriptures in Luke chapter 9 and Mark chapter 9, they might not even believe the same as you. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Remember, they were casting out devils and demons, but they weren't following Jesus in the way of the disciples. And the disciples, they thought they were going to get, you know, kudos for, you know, trying to stop these people. And Jesus said, no, that's not the right thoughts. Let's go back to Mark chapter 9. Can you, Sister Amanda, we put up verse 42. I wanted to look at Mark 9:42. Thank you for driving here, Sister Amanda and Brother G, helping us tonight. Let's look at the scripture, Mark chapter 9:42. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. I'm thinking of our junior camps and our senior camps, but I'm also thinking of the little children that sang the song special tonight. And I'm thinking of your family, or I'm thinking of others that might be not just little in age, but little in faith. That to offend them or to try to get them going down another way, they're believing in the Lord. And for you to bring an offense or something that between them and having faith toward God, it would be better for that a millstone would be hanged around your neck and you'd be cast into the sea. Verse 43, if thy hand offend thee. Remember, we're speaking on where are we at in time. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Right. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worms dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This is Jesus saying this. Verse 47, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into the hell fire, where their worms die not and the fire is not quenched. I don't think that Jesus was just using emotion. When he was talking in verse 43, if your hand offend you, cut it off. Verse 45, if your foot offends thee, cut it off. I'm thinking of the Olympics that's on right now and all the glorying of flesh and the glory of women and the glory of men and their bodies and their games and all that's going on. Really, it's Satan putting the emphasis on the strength of a man or the strength of a woman. And when you look at almost all of the things in the Olympics, hardly any of it's holy. Come on, friends. I don't want to offend you by talking about the Olympics, but what the world is saying is great is foolishness to God. Look at how they dress. Look at what they emphasize. Look at even the opening ceremonies and how they glorified the rainbows and the fornication and the nudity and the sexuality. Trying to bring a perversion even to the Last Supper and all of these things. It even offended the Catholics. The Catholic churches around the world are just so abhorred with it. And if the Catholics are embarrassed, what about believers? We shouldn't think that just to be an Olympic star, you know, biting on a medal is a great thing. Friends, we're ready to get out of here. We shouldn't be glorying the flesh and how fast you run and if you can flip and all of that means nothing at the coming of the Lord. Amen. If your hand offends you, if your foot offends you, if your eye offends you, if your cell phone offends you.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Come on, friends. If your thoughts are offending you, let's be changed back to the thoughts of the Word. Verse 49 and verse 50, our last verses here in this verse chapter. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, we were eating supper with our little grandchildren, and Libby wanted the salt, you know, she wanted the salt to put on her little sandwich, you know, salt. So she must have got that before and it was salty.
Yeah.
But what good would it do if you tried to put some salt on and it was just nothing?
Yeah.
There was no taste. I mean, have salt in yourselves.
Yes.
And have peace one with another.
Amen.
Let's be more salty.
Yeah.
How many would like to be more salty?
Yeah.
When someone has put salt on before, they expect you to be salty again.
Amen.
Don't dry up. Don't get nasty. I encourage you tonight to say salty.
Yes.
Have salt in yourselves.
Yes.
And he ends the whole chapter in this, and have peace one with another.
Amen.
I think that's really good.
That's
good. If we can go back to our slide, Sister Amanda, I just want to move along. Where are we at in time? Brother Branham was talking again in Shreveport about that. This is after the seals. You see where we're at today. Read what we're supposed to be doing. Then you'll know how far we are. I only see one thing left, the coming of the Lord Jesus at any time. How many know that could happen at any time? The resurrection. The dead in Christ should rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So we should be waiting for the coming. We should be loving his coming. I know many that are younger have a long life in front of them and they want to get married and they want to drive and they want to graduate and all of these things. But as you get older, you that are middle-aged or older, realize that it is good. The coming of the Lord is good. Let's make ourselves ready tonight. The rapture for the church, and we're to meet him in the air.
Hallelujah.
And these things has got to come to pass in this day, just as he promised that he would. Tonight, here in Bellingham, Washington, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And while it seems like he's delaying his coming, let's not be striking one another. Let's have that spirit of Christ. I wanted to bring this right down to our church tonight. Nice to have all the visitors that are here, but I want to bring it also to our church. Where are we at in time? Where are we really living at? I wanted to prick our hearts as we were speaking Sunday on nurturing the new generation. You know, this has been the faith from our older parents, Brother Steve and myself, both of our father and mothers here tonight. Gloriously saved and raised us in the message of the hour. We're thankful for that. The older generation. I had Brother Zig Klar and Brother Ken Andes come and pray with us in the back room. I think that's good for there to respect to be for the both generations. For their hands to be joined. For them, the older ones, to know that we need them. Them to know that they need us, and we're passing off the baton to one another. How many believe in that? Amen. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 4, please. And I did put this on the screen. I want to ask some questions throughout the service. It might be a little bit basic. Where are we at in time? But I want to look at Malachi chapter 4. And then I want to go to Revelation chapter 10. And then I want to speak about Luke 17:30 and what that actually means. You know, you that are older, this might seem elementary, but remember, to nurture the new generation means to speak it out there like it was for the first time. And I don't think church should be boring. And I don't think it should be like a science class. I think that the Lord wants energy in our meetings. He wants energy in our song services and energy in the preaching of the word. Malachi chapter 4. I'm going to be asking you some questions about this. Verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you. Who are you? That's you. Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. How many realize this is the last book of the Old Testament?
That's right.
Coming, this is a prophecy of our day.
Amen.
Who is this Elijah?
Yes.
Who is this Elijah the prophet?
All right.
If it's spoken of in the scripture before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before the destruction of the earth, that God would send a prophet, who is that prophet?
Yes. Amen.
Have you received that prophet?
Yes.
Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, that this ministry would turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And we know that happened in the ministry of John the Baptist.
Yes.
But in our day, the heart of the children to their fathers.
Yes.
And this isn't just our natural fathers. This is the Pentecostal fathers. These are apostolic fathers. This would there would be a generation raised up in the message that would love the Word, that would love the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Who are those children? Where are those children? Where are those ones that can say, here we are, Lord? God has sent us a prophet, William Branham, and the message that he brought has turned our hearts back. Am I too loud tonight? Am I blasting you? Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 10. Amen. Maybe it's because our monitor hasn't been working very good. I don't know, Brother Solomon, but it just seems like it's loud. And if you're saying it's okay, then it's okay. Amen. As long as you're okay, I'm okay. If you're not okay, then Brother John's not okay. Amen. I want to ask you some questions about Revelation chapter 10. Maybe, Sister Amanda, we can turn to that if it's okay. Revelation chapter 10. I want to ask you who this mighty angel is. And has it been fulfilled? Revelation 10:1. I want to look down through Revelation 10:7. Who is this seventh angel? And has this been fulfilled? Tonight we're speaking about where are we in time? Because if we can say, this has been fulfilled, that's been fulfilled, this has been fulfilled, we've received a message,
Amen.
Then are we at the end time?
Yes. Yes.
And then we want to look at the last part of the chapter, because John was a type of every true believer. And when he talks about the book, what is that book? And then who is the ones that should be prophesying? So let's look here in Revelation 10, verse 1. John recording this on the Isle of Patmos. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Amen.
Who is this mighty angel? It's Christ. This mighty angel coming down from heaven. And he had in his hand a little book open. Just a few chapters earlier, it was closed. But now he's coming. It was a little book, but it was open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. So that when the word goes forth, it's not just silence.
Right.
To the world's going to miss it.
Yeah,
but to the bride, it's the message.
Yes.
Seven thunders is that those things that are hidden in the message, those divinely revealed truths. That when the word, that's why it's so important to hear the message.
Amen.
And that's why I'm thankful for getting into the word. And
Hallelujah.
For this month of July, I hope this is the last month. So if you haven't finished it, you have till midnight. Hallelujah. And we got some in the foyer. Amen.
Praise God.
It's okay. We'll give you the rest of the week. Amen. Watch this now. Verse 3, when he cried with a loud voice, it was as when a lion. So it wasn't just a lion, but it was as a lion roareth. And I trust when we speak, it'll give you an appetite to go back into the seven seals. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Verse 4, and when seven thunders had uttered their voices, this is John, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. So John was about to write them out. But it's going to be a mystery to the world. It's silence to the world. Verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, so that is Christ, lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and things that therein are in the earth and the things that therein are in the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer or delay no longer. John was watching all this unfold before him and he was about to write. And the voice said, don't write it, John, but seal it up until the end time. So did we establish out of Revelation 10:1 who this mighty angel is?
Yes.
Has that been fulfilled?
Yes.
Has Christ came down?
Yes.
How did he come down? By a message.
Yes.
Verse 7, I'm coming now into our day. But in the days, plural, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, not she, but he.
Amen.
It's an earthly messenger.
Right.
See, the mighty angel was a heavenly angel coming down, but the earthly angel, the seventh angel, is on the earth at that appearing.
Right.
At the appearing.
Yes.
When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who is the seventh angel? Has this been fulfilled?
Yes.
Then here we have a mighty angel coming down. We have a seventh angel. So you have seven ages, seven angels to every age. And now we have that angel speaking, and not just in the early part of his ministry, but also the end part. after the opening of the seven seals, especially when Christ appeared. Now we see in verse 8, I hope this is meaning something to you. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again. So this is the mighty angel speaking to John. And when Brother Branham talked about verse 8, he said John is a type of every true believer. So now this is the voice speaking to John saying, go and take the little book. See, before no man was worthy even to look on it. But now the book has been handed to someone. Go and take the little book, and he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. See, when you eat off of the word, it's so easy to testify. It's so easy to talk about it. Isn't the Lord good? And is he do miracle? Oh, so good. But then when it comes down to your daily life, as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. That's where the really rubber meets the road. When you eat the message, and he's not talking about eating a book like this. Or eating a Bible, you know, eating your Bible. He's talking about when you feed off of it. Not background noise, but when you feed off of the book. And that book held your name there. And it's not a name like John or Mary or Sue or Liliana or Rhonda. It's not like Ormond Neville. But it was your representation. It was the real you is hidden in the message. So as you hear the message, it's Christ being revealed in your own life. So that's why we speak to everyone to encourage you that you don't need to worry about stopping smoking and drinking and all. It'll stop you. As you feed off of the word, you become the word. And as you feed off of Christ, as you feed off of the message and the Holy Spirit is coming through your life, those things will stop you. Because it's Christ in you. It's Christ. It's the mighty angel coming down through a message in your own life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 11 is a verse I want everyone here in the service and those that may stream to really receive this. I have some questions to follow this. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Was he just talking about John?
No. No.
When the voice said, thou must prophet, what is he just talking about John and that his prophecy was going to be written in pages and it's going to go into all the world? So that was John the Revelator. Some believe that. But you and I can't believe that. This is a commission. Verse 8 to 11 is our commission. After the mighty angel has come down in our day and revealed himself through a prophet's message, we are to eat off of that message. We are to become the rapture. We are the coming of the Lord. We are at the end time. That's why we're not getting caught up in the world and religion. And we cannot be a denomination. So thou must prophesy before again. So the prophecy's already gone out there. But you must prophesy again, John, bride, before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let me ask you tonight, who is it that's going to take this book? What's in that book? If it's just boring, and just like if you just get caught up in, like we've talked about, sports or news or romance novels or some television soap opera or something that is, you know, exciting to you and you feed off of that, you're just going to become that. But when you feed off the word, you become more like Christ. The bride is prophesying again. That's why I just don't get it when people say they're in the message and they say they're in the message churches and their life is manifested and it's just a lot of bitterness and fighting and trouble. When they love the things of the world and it's creeping in their dress and the makeup or in their attitude, and I just, what have they been feeding on? We're not here to lift up William Branham. We're here to lift up Christ. And we're not just here to say, oh, he's the mighty angel. He's the mighty angel. We're here to receive him into our hearts. Yes. Because he's already came. He's already here.
Yes.
He's appeared to us.
Yes.
That's Revelations 10:1, the mighty angel. Revelations 10:7 is a seventh angel. That was William Branham. He had his part. But this is our part now. We're not to worship William Branham.
Amen.
We're to worship the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's right, my brother. Yes, sir.
That's true, buddy.
Can we go back to our slides? I want you to focus again on the coming of the Lord and where are we then at in time? When we see that, when we see what's happening in Israel, when we see what's happening in the world is fighting, and let's just turn to it, Luke 17. I want to. Matthew, Mark, Luke 7. Is everybody doing okay? The word is in the bride to know what he wants done with the word. So now it's come right back around. She is him. He has come with a message, but now you've been in love with him, in bed with him. That's why when you bring forth his life, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. We've got to know our day and our hour, and we can't be pointing back to another age and glorifying another age. You'll never bring forth children. Your young people will not have a real birth by the word if you're just talking about Brother Branham's day, Brother Branham's day, Brother Branham's day. You can read all day long out of this Bible, but the denominations have this Bible. It's not that. It's having the word for our day that makes this come alive.
Hallelujah.
And it's recognizing who you are today is what makes the message of William Branham alive in you. Luke 17, before we go to verse 30, I want you to look at Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, you can put this on the screen if you'd like, Sister Amanda. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, Luke 17, 20, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. That's with an outward show. See, they all thought the Messiah is going to come. Surely it would be the high priest's daughter, someone in the church, you know, some beautiful person. And it came in a stable, in a little nobody. A little girl that there was no room in the inn even.
Yeah.
Surely she's been playing around with Joseph. That's what they thought.
My goodness.
And so when he came, they crucified him.
Right.
And Jesus is saying, because they were asking him about the coming of the Lord or the kingdom, and he said it does not come with observation.
Right.
Verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here, exclamation, or lo there, exclamation. Oh, it's on this website. Oh, it's on this preacher. You got to be part of our group. You got to be part of our church. You got to believe our doctrine this way, exclamation mark. In fact, they're so passionate about it, if you leave them or aren't part of them, it's just like the disciples coming to Jesus when there were miracles going on by other people. They wanted to X them out. And Jesus forbade them.
Yeah. So good.
Why, we need to bring the spirit of Jesus back into the message.
Hallelujah.
And just realize, Lord, help us to allow the body around us to grow and mature. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in Jeffersonville.
No.
Tucson.
No.
Come on, friends. It's within you. Where is the revival in the message? What is the message? Amen. We're not pointing to volumes and tapes and all of this. Brother Branham said a lot about staying with the tapes. Our children don't even know what a tape is. What are you talking about? Come on. Yeah. Say what the tapes say. They don't even know what a tape is. So it's not the magnetic cassette tape he's talking about. Stay with the Word.
Amen.
Stay with Christ.
Amen.
You say what the Word says.
Yes.
And the Word will bring forth the Word.
Yes. Amen.
So when you look in Luke 17 verse 26, and we don't have time to go into this. Sunday ago we spoke about as it was in the days of Noah. And talked about that in verse 27, how they were eating and drinking and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then there was a destruction. Remember, the flood came. Verse 28, likewise as it was in the days of Lot. You know, I think that we're living in the days of Lot and Sodom. Brother Branham talked about Paris and Hollywood and the evil and the sexuality. And right out of these Olympics came the heart of Paris, came the nudity and all the perversion. How many saw some of that or saw it in the news? The pale horse, they had it all out there. It was like drama. It was like the world putting into the face of the world that we are an antichrist generation. That's exactly what they were saying. And we want you to be inclusive and believe it the way we believe it. And we're going to put your communion and your Lord out there and make a mockery of you. That's what they were saying to the world. And if they can do that publicly, what about us that know the real Christ and have received the message of the hour? We don't have to be ashamed. But friends, verse 28 and verse 29 has been fulfilled, that we are living in a day of Lot. And verse 29, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Another destruction. So the word goes out. God sends out a warning. Then he judges him, as it was in the days of Noah. God sends out another message through Abraham. Through Melchizedek comes and changes Sarah's body. But Lot wants to go to the world and go out there with his wife. And we see in verse 32, can we put that up? Remember Lot's wife. Jesus is putting it right in there. At the coming of the Lord, I want everyone to remember Lot's wife. She turned to a pillar of salt when she was looking back to the things of Sodom. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Get your eyes back on Revelations 10:1, the mighty angel. Not the earthly messenger. Get it back on Christ. So we see in verse 30, Luke 17:30. I want to speak on this just for a few minutes before we close. Luke 17:30, as he talked about Noah and he talked about Lot's day, even thus shall it be. In the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That's our day. I want you to notice when the Son of Man, that capital S is capitalized, so that's deity. That's not William Branham. For many, many years, we talk about Malachi 4 and we'd say William Branham. And they totally missed it. The word came to turn the hearts of some children. For many years, it would be Revelations 10:7. It would be the earthly angel. That's William Branham. Hallelujah. But where was the bride that was to feed off of that, become that word? So the whole focus has shifted from just the messenger to the message. Luke 17:30 is not William Branham. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's Christ. It's a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man, which is Christ.
Amen.
I want you to see that the message is Christ.
Yes.
When you read Revelation 17:30, you ought to be able to say that is the condition of our day, what we just heard about. But the Son of Man has been revealed.
Yes.
Christ has been revealed. The word has been revealed. What did he say? What is his attitude? What is his whole demeanor? What is he asking of me, Lord? That's not William Branham. That is Christ has appeared. Hallelujah. Let me let Brother Branham say it to you. This is in Jeffersonville, 1965, spiritual food in due season. God has promised us these things in the last days. Malachi 4 said that Jesus Christ would come down and impersonate himself in human flesh like he did at Sodom. Wow. Just that one right there ought to just put all of our hearts at ease. That we're not in the presence of just a man or a preacher or just a prophet. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come down and in person, he has put his person in your flesh. You say, well, I think he did that in Brother Branham. He did. But he's doing that in you. That's right. And said the world would be in a Sodom condition. Said as it was then, the Son of Man, watch its capital, Son of Man, that's deity, will be revealed that day. He's talking about our day. This man, now this is Brother Branham capitalized this. Brother Ken Andy's helped edit this. This man that come down in the form of a man, which was Elohim by Abraham, before this promised son came, look what it was. Abraham said it was God. Brother Branham said it was God. So stop worshiping William Branham. Stop worshiping Abraham. When Isaac came, that was the promised word. Today, we've got to move beyond just William Branham. It's got to be Christ has come. God has come. When I feed off of this message, I hear of Christ. I want more of Christ. I don't want to adore Brother Branham. I don't want to move back to Jeffersonville. I was born and raised there, so. But you find a whole movement getting caught up in those things, and it's to elevate a man. But the true bride of Christ sees Christ in every word. This is Brother Branham saying this. This man come down in the form of a man which was Elohim by Abraham before this promised son came. Look what it was. Abraham said it was God. And the Bible said there was three men come to him, dust on their clothes, traveling, sit down and eat like man. And Jesus said, just as the time the world gets into a Sodom condition, then the Son of Man would reveal himself again. Not Son of God, Son of Man, see, would reveal himself. And God reveals himself through his prophets. I said he reveals himself. And this is continuing on. Now mark that with what the last prophet said. Behold, I send to you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Not to the prophet. Back to the fathers. In many places he would say the faith of our fathers. That faith was in God. It was in Christ. The bride has been left with Christ. For all these years we've saw Christ. Hallelujah. I stand here in 2024. Brother Steve Clark stands before you in 2024 being raised in this message. We have seen a lot of mess. But after all these years, all we see is Christ. I'm not here to talk about all the dirty laundry and this church and that pastor and that minister. This person hurt me and that person left the message. Friends, if that's all you see, you're looking on the carnal side. Neither are we here to try to just resurrect the image of William Branham. It ought to be Christ being resurrected. We ought to leave every service saying, I want to be more like Jesus. Not how to hold my Bible like the prophet did or memorize all of that and get stickers. That's all nice. But I want Christ in my character. I'm speaking about where are we in time? What has this message produced after all of these years? What is really in the heart of the bride is the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what Brother Branham, and there's, we're coming to the close of the service. A message to bring them back to the Bible. And the Son of Man will be revealing himself in that day. And at that day of the sounding of the last church age, the seventh angel, the mysteries of God should be made known in that day. The seven seals would be broken. Not six seals, but the seven seals. The mysteries of all these churches and things and how they happened and what taken place. All the clothes were taken off of Christ. We've been left with Christ. Let's all say Christ. So can we say in conclusion this evening, the Son of Man revealed the Son of Man, a Son of Man. William Branham revealed the Son of Man, which is Christ. That's what it is to me. I think it's been mentioned in our services two or three times in the last month, but I want to mention it again about the old man that was on the Ohio River that some of you might remember that he had lost his wife and he had a big gray beard and things. He'd had a hard life. This little boy wanted to know, can I see God? Is it possible to see God? And he asked his mother and she said, you'll have to ask your Sunday school teacher. Can you see God? And the Sunday school teacher said, oh, you're going to have to ask the pastor. And he came to the pastor. Is it possible to see God? And the pastor, you know, gave his theological answer. Well, no man can see God. He was so disappointed. This little fella, I pray if there's someone in our midst, some of our young people that want to see God, that we give them more than just a message book. Just a quote that's not anointed for that brother, that sister. Say, no man can see God. Absolutely, that's in this Bible. But it's not the verse that little boy needed to hear. He had to go to that old man that was out on the boat with the sun setting behind him. And he asked the question. He said, I've asked my mother. I've asked the school teacher. I've asked the pastor. Is it possible to see God? And this old man with the tears dripping down through his beard and his hands on the oar said, my fella, my little fella, that's all I've seen for the last years is God. That's all I've seen. He didn't talk about the hurt of losing his wife and his children did this and the church did that and this person did that and this person did that. And no, that's all he had seen was Christ. I'm here to give a testimony. Brother John is 52 years old or young, however you want to say it. But that for after 52 years, I can honestly, traveling all over the world in this glorious message, that's all I've seen is Christ. When you talk about the message or talk about Christ, that's all I've seen. Not William Branham. You won't hear me elevating and glorifying him and make it. No, it's Jesus Christ. Not a bunch of ministers and pastors and, you know, the top five and the top 10. You won't hear that from Brother John or Brother Steve. I hope this church notices the ministry that's here. We don't elevate other ministries. We elevate Jesus Christ. It's not a church building. We want the best building. We moved from the Ferndale Community Center and God gave us this lovely building. But it could burn down tonight. It's not the building. You are the building. You are the house. This message has got to come from more than books and tapes and this month and what you're studying and all of that's got to be, the head knowledge has got to come down into my heart where it's Jesus Christ. He's my healer. He's my Savior. And I have him in my heart. And when my shadow goes over someone, they can be healed. I don't need to scream and holler and run around the room. Just my shadow. Just words, like what we've spoken in the last 45 minutes, the Holy Spirit could just fall on a person. They could have been raised in this message. They could have heard this from a youth. Heard a lot of confusing ideas, and just a few things like a key turning in a lock, just it opens the door. And it's like, that's exactly right. We are here tonight confessing with our prophet that we are his victory. It came out so clearly in Christ as the mystery of God revealed that we've been justified. Brother Karim Sharapov sang about it tonight. Not only did he sing about it, his life is reflecting it. Brother Karim and Sister Shannon, both of them are here because of God's blood and being justified. We're not just singing songs. This is our life. We are his victory. The church is his victory. We come forth in these last days. I want you that are young people or counselors or with your families or children or everyone in this church or will be streaming. We have come forth in the last days with this glorious gospel showing his victory. You say, well, I'm defeated or I don't see the results or it's not manifested. You can't declare that. You can't rightly declare that.
No.
You are his victory. Yeah. You say, well, I'm defeated, but the battle's not over. Yeah. Say, I'm a loser. Who told you that? Yeah. We need to move from the losing category over to the W. If the people in the world can do all kinds of their propaganda and their world wide web and bring everybody under some anointing that's dragging them to hell. That's the false spirit. Cannot the Lord Jesus get a bride together out of all of this whole world and bring us into one mind and one accord so that our young people and our children say, oh, this is a glorious gospel. Can they do that? Can God do that? Can you confess tonight you are his victory? Listen, friends, this isn't a bunch of men doing this or women. This is God's work. You are God's children. You are property of Jesus Christ. Sister Chantel, that's why you could stand up in front of people that you never even met before. You don't even know this. A lot of young ladies her age would be so timid and shy. She just stood up there like a Queen Esther and began to declare things and sing songs. God bless you, Sister Chantel. This is a revelation. This is Christ. I hope, friends, after all these years, that the message is more than quotes and sermons and message titles. It ought to cause us to fall in love with Jesus. It's not about ministers and churches and Bible reading and quotes. It all should lead you to Jesus Christ. We are proof of his victory. When we see him coming down and living among the church, that's his victory. See, this is Lot's wife, and she went down into defeat. After all of those years of being so close, even related to Abraham. Lot was related to Abraham, and so Lot's wife, part of the family. She knew Sister Sarah. Even Sarah, Abraham's wife, laughed at the promise. Whether it was in her heart or publicly, Abraham laughed. That God is going to look beyond your laughing, your unbelief, your backslidings. Even your blatant iniquity is not going to stop God. I'm closing. Just give me a couple more minutes and we're doing good tonight. A couple Sundays ago, weekends ago, I was looking at this on September the 7th. It was on a Sunday, 1941 in Pearl Harbor. And they had their parties and girls and guys, and they had all their drinking and ignoring and reverie going on the Saturday. And Brother Branham's bringing that into the sudden secret going away of the church and talking about, I'm afraid it's going to be likewise at the coming of the Lord. The church is so took up and drunken with the cares of the world. Warning! Warning,
yes.
Cares of the world, till they're going to be asleep at the post of duty at the coming of the Lord. He's talking about Pearl Harbor when the Japanese bombed them. It was a Sunday morning, December the 7th. Over the city flew the planes and the bombs dropped and they just battered out that city to the ground. Why? Because they wouldn't take heed to the warning. Warning. And that young lady, along with the rest of them Japanese brutal soldiers, run in there, ravished them in the street, cut them to the pieces with knives afterwards and so forth. If you won't heed to warning, there's only one thing left. That's judgment. Oh, if there ever was a time this America was ever at its lowest ebb, right now, of its immorality, of its indifference. This is 1958. What would he say today, Brother Bill? We are not a Christian nation anymore. I don't want to embarrass this church, but we're not just proud to be Americans. America is falling apart. They become so tunnel vision. We are not a Christian nation. You say, that offends me. You need to hear what our prophet said about it. Our leaders aren't Christians. They can say Christ and say Christian and to get the votes. But you watch that ecumenical spirit. And it's even coming in the message where people are getting lulled to sleep about it. Friends, don't let that happen to you. We've heard enough of our prophet to warn us of those things. You talk about immorality back in the 50s. It's much worse today. And the indifference. The indifference means, oh, you know, I'm not moved by anything. None of your church services, nothing that's going on. I'm just going to stay the way I am. The gospel's been preached from shore to shore. Signs and wonders has been performed. Great miracles has been done. And they continually go on in their reverie, drinking, ignoring, making fun. Let's not let that happen. Even if someone's doing miracles and healings and they're not part of your church or your group, don't make fun of that. Have peace with all brothers and sisters. That is the nature of Christ. I think after looking at this one quote, we ought to say, God, don't let me get caught up in the cares of the world. We're at the coming of the Lord. Let's take heed to the warning and not let immorality and indifference rock our souls to sleep. I think I got one last quote. Watch the word of the Lord. God has got a way of doing things. This is after the seals in Chicago. And we must do it in the way that he wants it done. If it isn't, then it's not effective. Jesus found something like it. And when he came in his day, he said, you by your traditions have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. See, they had hybrid into, injected into God's commandments, their own traditions. Can bring that right into the message. We can just keep doing things till it becomes a tradition. Why do you do that? And it's just a tradition. And it made the commandments of no effect. Today, I know it's become the same thing. There is not a thing left, my Christian friend, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish strong tonight. Amen. That's the only hope that the church has. As far as it comes, if it ever takes up a denomination again, it's finished. Because every denomination finished when it become a denomination, it's the very thing. What is it? They made men greater than the word. They glorified the clergy. They glorified the priest. They glorified the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They glorified their prophets. They did. They made them idols. God help us. The only hope that the church has is the coming of the Lord. And I don't have time to go into Christ as the mystery. Maybe Sunday I can share a little bit more about predestination and free moral agency before the foundation of the world and the whole rapture and the coming of the Lord. My, wasn't that a wonderful message?
Yes.
Was it a wonderful message?
Yes.
4 hours long. I think most people would have fainted after about an hour or two. I mean, this is July 28th, Brother Childers, in Jeffersonville. I mean, how muggy and hot is it? Sweat coming out of your clothes, starting to smell everybody, people fainting. After hour and a half, 2 hours, your eyeballs are starting to go like this, you know. 2.5 hours, 3 hours. He was laying in vegetables. He was laying in food we were going to need. A lot of those people, they missed it. And I know him personally, a lot of them. Where are they at now? Where did they go with the message? Off on this, off on that. There's got to be a bride at the end time that stays true. Let's stand to our feet. There's got to be a people that eats off of that word and becomes the word. Says, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. God, help us. Turn our hearts towards you, Lord. As it was in the days of Sodom, it's going to be that way. Here we are. It's when the Son of Man is being revealed. It's being when the Son of Man is revealed. I'm trying to go to the next slide, Sister Amanda. In Tucson, Brother Branham said, not the Son of God in the church age. He's put out of that. Now he's Son of Man revealing himself. The Word is becoming flesh among us. You know where the Word is? Right there in Bellingham, Washington. Hallelujah. God's given you a little house, a little dwelling place. But it's this place that he's looking for. What house are you making for him to dwell in? What are we going to say, Brother Mark, out there at that Linden Fair for 10 days and thousands of people? What are we going to say? It's going to be our life screaming out. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is all the noise? What is all this? Why are you doing this, Brother John? When a lot of message churches wouldn't even think of doing what we're doing. We're just a little church. With a little things. But we're trying to get this message out before our little area. I pray God bless you. Where are we in time? Where are we? Here with Mount Baker in the background. Looking out across the ocean, Bellingham Bay. Where are we? In a few minutes when we drive out of this driveway here. What's our little children thinking about when they play in that playground, when they get into their car seats, when we take them home tonight? Are they so interested in their cell phones and in their little cartoon characters in Disney? Do they worship Disney over Christ? God help us. Have we made idols right in our own homes? Have we brought spirits right into our own homes and become idol worshipers and worshiping this sickness? We're worshiping this illness. We're worshiping this family strain. We're worshiping the way we are. I pray God raise up a generation that breaks out of that. Amen. Some of our young ladies and our young men and our families begin to break out of that cycle. Just break out of that tonight. Where are we at? Where are we living at? We are in the time of the coming of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to be ready, Lord. We want our lamps trimmed. We want our lamps filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, I pray tonight, as I lift my hands with many in this church, that you would give us a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Give us the capstone of your divine love. We cry out for revelation more than anything else. May the Spirit of Jesus get inside of us, Lord. Change our attitude. Change the way that we look at things, the way we talk. Change our atmosphere. Lord, change us, Lord, into your very image. With every head bowed, who would lift up your hand and say, I want my life to reflect Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that others could see Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, let others see you and me, Lord. Not just the Holy Bible and 66 chapters, not just volumes of message sermons, not just pointing back to Jeffersonville or Tucson, but right here where you live. It can be Christ in you. Oh, that's the mission of this little church, is to rally around Christ, rally around the Word. It's the God that answers back. Lord, influence our lives for eternity. Lord, you know how you dealt with my heart these days to speak about Malachi 4 and Revelations 10 and to bring it to Luke 17, that it's not way back in the history or just back in the Bible days or back in Brother Branham's day, but what are we doing with Christ today?
Amen.
Has our hearts truly been turned back, or are we living just a hypocritical life? I pray a Holy Ghost revival would burst through our little church, Lord. I pray it would burst through Edmonton, Lord, where the Clars live, Brother Hammermeister. We have other visitors here from other cities and other places. I pray you would just melt their heart into a oneness with you. Oh, Jesus, let the Holy Spirit become one with us, Lord, that the very nature and the very life of Jesus Christ would be melted into our hearts. And I pray, God, tonight you would forgive us of our carnality. Forgive us of any sin or a transgression or iniquity, something that has broken that connection between us and you. I'm asking for the blood of Jesus to cover each person, Lord. Hallelujah. Can the congregation say amen? Can you receive the blood of Jesus? Can you receive the Holy Ghost? Can you receive your healing? Maybe someone's at home tonight, you'd say, I need a touch. Receive it right there. I often think of the Roman soldier in the scripture that had enough faith. He wasn't in the message, but he said, you don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word. And I wonder, after all these years in the message, what have we produced in the congregation? I pray that we would say, Lord, just speak your word. Just speak healing over me. Speak deliverance over me. And I will take that to my son. I will take that to my daughter. I will speak to that situation, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, you saw today as I was on my knees and heard the need. And tears begin to fall down upon my Bible and fall down upon my message book, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. Whenever I pick it up and those stains are there, it'll cause me to remember a minister's wife that is in trouble tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus, you would restore her back to her right mind. Restore her back to her right health, Lord. We know that it's not compassion and human sympathy. But it's your word going into the situation that you would restore back our beautiful sister in the name of Jesus, Lord, that her husband and her children could glorify God and her family and extended family would give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for how great you are. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Lead us, Brother Karim.
Is near everything.